Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God, saints triumphant in Christ. Wanted, dead or alive. Maybe you've seen that poster in a movie about the Old West. It means that the sheriff doesn't mind how you bring the bad guy in. Might even be true that you could bring in multiple bad guys under both conditions. One dead and one alive. The same thing is true when it comes to saints triumphant. God does not care how our Lord Jesus finds us and brings us into heaven, whether we're dead or alive. The believers in northern Greece were continuing to learn more and more about their new faith in Jesus Christ. One of the things that they were concerned about and Paul was teaching them about was the last judgment, something that we talked about last Sunday. The Thessalonians also had on their minds the return of Christ, as every Christian has that on our mind, as we know that Jesus could return any minute. But what about when Jesus comes again with regard to those who have already died in Christ and with regard to those who are still alive? You and I, like the Thessalonians, also, don't we, want to continue to grow in our knowledge of these things. You and I expect the Lord at any minute. Well, what if I die in the meantime? What if I'm still living when Jesus returns? Well, won't matter, because we will be forever with the Lord when He comes. First, Jesus will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep already. And then Jesus will also take up to be with Him and them those who are still alive when He returns. The Apostle Paul follows Jesus' example of speaking of the death of a Christian as sleep. And death for the Christian is sleep, because as soon as the body, or rather the soul, returns to heaven, to God who made it, the body is laid in the earth, or in a mausoleum, or somewhere else. Does it really matter where? Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep. Countless Christians over the centuries have sung at the funerals, at the deaths of their loved ones who have died in Christ. Paul assured the Thessalonians that this would also be the case with their loved ones who already had died in Christ and were buried. Paul did not want the Thessalonians to be ignorant, really more unknowing, in the dark about those who had died or about those who would remain prior to Judgment Day. But he did not want those people, and he doesn't want us, to grieve over our dead as the rest of men who have no hope. They have no hope because they do not believe in Jesus as their Savior. They do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. A retired pastor friend of mine serves about 20 hours a week working for a local funeral home. And he said the really depressing thing about the job is going to funerals where there is no gospel, where there is no hope, where there is no comfort for those left behind. The basis of the Thessalonians' hope and ours is this. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Certainly, most, if not all of us, have grieved and mourned over the death of one of our loved ones who has died in Christ. But while we grieved, we still had hope. We still had that assurance of Jesus being our Savior and theirs, and that now their souls were with Jesus while their bodies rested in the earth. We will live forever with the Lord. And when Jesus returns, He is going to bring with Him those who have already died in Christ. Those whose bodies are asleep in Jesus. Our loved ones who have died in Christ are already at Jesus' right hand. They see their Savior face to face as they wait the day and time when the Lord Himself will come down with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Three things are going to take place. Jesus is going to shout with a loud command by the authority of His Word as the resurrected and living Christ. He will call forth from the grave all people. After He has done that, the angels will gather the believers, the elect, from the four corners of the earth to stand with Jesus at the right hand of God. And the trumpet of victory will sound for we who are in Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns on Judgment Day, He will not be alone. He will be accompanied by those who have already died in Him. And His voice will call them from those graves and from those mausoleums and from the depths of the sea and from the air where their ashes have been scattered or wherever they might be. Perhaps we will be with them. We will be if we die before our Lord Jesus returns. Our loved ones will mourn our deaths, but with hope. Hope that one day they will be there when our souls return with Christ and are reunited with our glorified bodies. One of the things that the church does on Saints Triumphant Sunday is remember our loved ones who have died in Christ. Today we remember our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters, maybe our children. We remember our fellow members from different congregations that we have belonged to. We remember our friends, all who are enjoying this day already in that full triumph of being with Jesus in heaven. We are already saints triumphant in Christ, but we're not yet enjoying the fullness of that as they are. And today we think of them and eagerly await that day when we will see them again, when they come back with Jesus, and perhaps we come back with Jesus to be reunited with our bodies now glorified like His. Bodies no longer dragging around our old Adam like a heavy burden on our backs. No longer dragging around the sins and the weaknesses that we have that cause us to weep and to grieve and to grow tired and weary and to mourn. All of those things will be gone. All of those things will not be part of our lives anymore. we will live, we will be forever with the Lord, as we sang in our opening hymn. Jesus will bring with Him those who have already died in Christ. But what about those who are left behind? What about those who are still alive when our Lord Jesus returns on that day that Peter writes about in his second epistle? That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Won't matter to us, because we will be with the Lord forever, as the Lord will take us who are living up to meet and be with Him and with them who are accompanying Him. That word meet there is the idea of the common man going outside the city because a great king or a great dignitary is coming to visit their town. And so they gather together, and in respect and joy and eager anticipation, they run out to meet the dignitary who's coming and accompany him into town. The Lord will come for us so that we, His people, can go up into heaven to meet Him, to welcome Him, to finally experience that day we so eagerly look forward to when Jesus comes for us. What a glorious day that will be when the church, the living church, is translated into heaven. And so Paul wrote to the living believers in Christ for their comfort and hope, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." This is not the false rapture of the millennialists. This is not when suddenly Christians will disappear from the earth and only the unbelievers will be left to ask, "What happened?" If you have or are interested in reading that series, Left Behind, get rid of it. It is demonic. It is lies about what will happen to the church at the end of the world. Our Lord Jesus will return, and He will take believers up to heaven to meet Him and the other saints, as the unbelievers at the same time are condemned to eternal damnation in hell. Nor can we think of what Paul writes about after that as being a lengthy period of time, as we mentioned last week, there were two resurrections or two judgments. There's only one. Paul is simply describing something that is going to take place suddenly, is going to take place simultaneously, is going to take place when time as we know it has ceased to exist. So them returning with Christ and us being taken up to meet them in Christ is going to take place in eternity. It's going to take place in an instant, as we all will live to be with the Lord forever. The Holy Spirit is describing these events for us, for our comfort. If we are still alive, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. So they and we at the same time will have these bodies glorified. Same physical body we have, but now no longer subject to the effects of sin. Robed already in the righteous blood of Christ, already holy and sinless in God's sight through Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come looking for us believers, not looking for us because He doesn't know where we are, but looking for us because He wants us to be where He is. And He wants us dead or alive. It doesn't matter how the Lord finds us. When He returns, we will be with the Lord forever in heaven. One of the reasons that we gather together so often and regularly for public worship is to encourage one another as that day approaches. That day when we will enjoy the full redemption of our bodies and the final triumph of heaven. How wonderful and great that will be to no longer have bodies subject to sin. But imagine how wonderful it will be to stand right next to Jesus. To see Jesus face to face. To see God face to face. Because we will be like He is. Completely and perfectly holy and righteous. Paul has given us something today to encourage us. He has given us something to be encouraged about as the end of the church year draws to a close next year with Christ the King Sunday, but as we await the appearance of our Lord Jesus after He has done preparing our final triumph in heaven for His saints. For our encouragement, Paul writes, "Therefore, encourage each other with these words, we will be with the Lord forever. Whether we are dead, no, asleep in Jesus, or we are alive, waiting for Jesus. Amen."